Boonville, Arkansas has a population of just over 4,000. In 2011, they were a Volunteer Community of the Year. In the early 20th century, Boonville was one of few towns in the nation to house a tuberculosis sanatorium. Today, that same location is home to many individuals, but through the Boonville Human Development Center. The clients there make over 600 rugs a year through the organization's Rugs Project. The rugs are sold at craft fairs across the region. I visited the BHDC earlier this month. In the year 1910, a steel banner connected two large rock posts at the bottom of a drive. It read, Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. Back then, there was no cure for TB, and passing through this gate was a death sentence. Between 1910 and the early 1970s, over 70,000 patients moved through these brown, native rock columns. Patients were kept isolated from the rest of society. This Boonville location was ideal because it was up in the hilly woods. The sanatorium ran like a mini city, complete with a hospital, fire department, freestanding homes, and a school.
This building was built by the Masons in Arkansas.
That's John Carter, a residential services manager for the Boonville Human Development Center, or the BHDC.
To house the children on the tuberculosis sanatorium grounds. So this was a school for children. You'll see a stage in the weaving room where they would have school plays and things like that. So this was a very interesting building and with a lot of history, I think.
When a cure for TB was found in the early 1970s, the sanatorium closed. It didn't take long for the BHDC to find a use for the property, moving in their first patient in 1972. The location now serves as a home and training facility for developmentally disabled adults, one in five state-run centers in Arkansas. Debbie Hill is a rehabilitation instructor supervisor.
It's just providing ways to help them grow and become as much as they can be, no matter whatever the disability might be.
Disabilities include various developmental issues and psychological, including bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Patients or clients come here for a variety of reasons. Perhaps their behavioral issues are too difficult for families to handle, or the families themselves are aging and are no longer physically able to care for their loved ones. Debbie has been with BHDC for 25 years, though when she started as a temporary teaching assistant, she thought she'd only be here 6 months. She says she got hooked on the clients.
And 25 years later, I'm going, why am I still here? And they're why I'm still here. Because I do enjoy working with them. I mean, any time it can be stressful or it can be a little tense and stuff, but overall, they're a lot of fun, they're great people. I enjoy working with them. I used to make the mistake of saying anybody could work here. You know, I mean, it's a piece of cake, anybody could work here, but not everybody can and not everybody should.
Debbie now works in the Masonic building we mentioned earlier. It is in this former school building where the Rugs Project takes place, a pre-vocational training program the BDHC has been doing for 30 years. About 35 clients work here Monday through Friday. They have a literal job to do, making rugs.
It's not necessarily a job per se that they can go out in the community and do, but it's learning how to work with others. It's learning how to get along. This may not be your best friend, but I have to work with them and I have to show them respect as they show me respect. Learning how to do a task and to follow through and to stay on task, you know, during that work period and knowing when to take your breaks and things. So all part of it is kind of work ethics that you need to learn in order to have a job outside of this facility.
The rugs they make here are pretty nice, sold to the public. More on that in a bit. They are made from loopers, as Debbie calls them. She had to explain further. When the toe of a sock is sewn together, there is excess fabric that has to be cut off. The result is a sock loop, a circle of material about 2 inches long. A sock factory in Fort Payne, Alabama gives them to the BHDC Rugs Project. They only have to pay for the shipping. There are many steps involved in rug making. Clients receive individualized care and attention to find which job is right for them.
We sit down, we give one-on-one instruction on how to do a task, and then we back off and kind of let them do it. And we set the objective based on are they easily distracted? You know, is it maybe just staying attentive, you know, staying on task? And we'll work on those things, things that will help them develop longer period of times of being able to focus on what they're doing at the moment. We help them also by, you know, not, I mean, you know, we might try and take away some of the distractions. If they're distracted and look out a window, maybe we could move their workspace a little way. So we find different ways that will help them be successful. But we base it on what they can already do, and then we sit down and we show them and help teach them how to do the things that we want them to do.
Groups of workers are set up in the former classrooms. The BHDC also does recycling, picking up paper and cardboard from local schools. So some clients are tearing and sorting magazines. In one classroom, others are sorting the loopers, picking the bad ones out. They get paid for the work that they do, paid by the pound of sock loops they sort. Today, they are working with nylon loops, like from pantyhose. Other workers are tying the loops together to form long chains. Debbie explains.
And he's double tying. Because of it being nylon, it's kind of thin. And so we figured with double tie, then we'd have a much thicker and it'd be easier to weave and make a much nicer rug.
So it has two loops put together.
Yeah. So he takes two loops at a time and loops them and ties them into the other one, makes a long chain, and then rolls that up into a ball so that it can go to the weavers, and then they weave it. And so we'll show you how to do that here in a little bit. But they're cleaning and sorting loops right now, and he's tearing paper for the recycling.
We move to a room across the hall. While the nylon loops are all white, they also make colorful chains, resulting in colorful rugs. The staff dye the sock loops to make a rainbow of circles. Sometimes the workers like to make their own patterns when tying loops into a chain, causing the pattern of a rug to be a bit off. To make sure there's an even distribution of color, the staff lay out colored loops in boxes on a circular table. Workers go around the table, picking up a loop from each box, stacking it on a stick.
So when he gets a stick, and these are the old wood slats off of the wood blinds that used to be here when it was a sanatorium. We found a good use for the wood slats, so we take them and we use them then for sticks for them to stack the colored loops on. That way they can keep them in order.
Workers then take the loops from the stick and tie them into the chains. When it's a good-sized chain, it's rolled into a ball and taken into the weaving room. Not everyone is a weaver. It takes some serious skill. Only 8 out of 35 weave. I was somewhat shocked to see that they use full-sized looms. About 8 light-colored wooden ones are set up in one half of a large, light room. They face a stage that's back wall is painted with a bright and colorful animal mural. One of the weavers took the time to show me how a rug is made.
What's your name?
I'm Chrissy.
Chrissy, my name's Christina.
That's a pretty name.
It's close.
All right, this is the stick, and you put the colors on here and everything, and then you go and you go and put it through like this, and then you do like that, and then you you change feet and stuff, and you go.
Chrissy
like
is moving
again,
a boat of sorts in between two rows of string. When the chain gets to the other side, she pulls back on an arm, securing the sock rope to the ones before it. Moving her feet on pedals flips the string so that she can move her colorful chain back through to the other side. And the process continues until the rug is the appropriate size. Staff members finish the edges. Of course, you can buy rugs at the BHDC, but you can also get one at one of the many craft fairs in the region. Staff take the rugs and set up shop at places like Spanker Creek and Bella Vista, bringing in over $8,000 just last month. It helps to fund the rugs project and to pay the workers. These rugs are popular. They get custom orders, and I've had two on my kitchen floor for the last year.
And of course, they get excited, and when they hear all the praise about their rugs, they like being told what a good job they do and how many rugs we sell. They all go around with puffed up chests, you know, all right. But it makes it nice for them to know they are capable of making something that other people want and are willing to pay for and buy. You know, and so that's encouraging for them.
Another weaver, Harold, was willing to talk to me.
Do you like your job now?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I love it.
For more information on the Rugs Project and the Boonville Human Development Center, contact Debbie Hill at deborah.hill@arkansas.gov. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Later today on This American Life, Growing up in Minnesota, John says that nobody ever talked about the war that happened near his hometown, Mankato, or the mass execution there.
The place where that hanging happened, I would have hung out at the mall not far from there, a few blocks down the street. I would have ridden past that spot on my way to, you know, Pizza Hut with my buddies.
For Thanksgiving, a story of Indians and settlers later today.
This American Life just ahead this morning at 10 o'clock here on KUAF 91.3 FM.